What happened to Brad Smith? And
he had a core muscle injury, so he had surgery, I think, on Tuesday. So he'll be out for a couple weeks.
Is that like a sports hernia, or is that different?
I think it's different.
A couple of the defensive players talked about disrupting Eli early in the down. It would be important to mess up their timing. Can you kind of explain what that means?
Well, I think you hope you do that to every quarterback, to try to disrupt the timing. I think when you let any team receivers run clean down the field, the quarterback set his feet and throw the ball, then obviously it's you're going to be in for a long day. So I think anytime you can disrupt the timing between the quarterback and the receiver, get the quarterback to move off his launch point, slow the receivers down from getting to where they want to get to, I think it helps you from a pass rush, a whole pass defense, obviously.
Brad Smith was your emergency quarterback. I mean, now
James Casey. He was our emergency quarterback last year until Brad came in. So,
you often refer to practices as training sessions, and I was just wondering what the why is behind that. Because
that's what we're doing. You know, I think we go out there to train. That's our mentality. That's always been the mentality. That's what I've always called it everywhere I've been. I think the military trains, boxers train. I agree with Allen Iverson. So, I think he's 100% right. So we don't want to go out there and practice because I don't know what practice is good for. Training is what we're all about. So.
Trey Burton's been practicing on kick returns. He did a little bit of it in college. How do you like him in that?
He has not been practicing on kick returns.
Oh,
okay. He's in the back line with the tight ends, if that's what you call him. Okay. But he hasn't. It would be Huff, Nolan Carroll, Darren Sproles would be the next guys in.
Okay. How much more base defense have you been seeing this year when you're in your three wide receiver sets than you saw last year?
I don't have the specific numbers for you.
I know,
but it just seems more the Redskins game than anybody else. Everybody else, I think the Rams kind of matched, the Colts kind of matched a little bit. You know, I think more the Redskins was probably the one outlier in that situation where they wanted to stay in base a little bit more. That was the one game that was a little bit different than what they were coming into the game.
This loss on the special teams, I mean, how big is that?
It is big. I mean, he's a huge contributor for us on that team, but I think. Fortunately, with Josh Huff back, you know, and getting Huff a little bit more acclimated back in there, his role will expand a little bit more from a special team standpoint. Got his first, you know, got his feet wet last week a little bit, but will now kind of pick up the slack in some of those areas. So.
And will he return kicks in bulk camp? I mean,
yeah, I just said that Josh is our kick returner, and then we got Josh, Nolan Carroll, and Darren would be kind of maybe in that order.
As we evaluate quarterbacks, are wins and losses a metric that you think is valid?
I think wins and losses are a metric of valid for anybody that plays. I mean, I'd evaluate anybody that way. So I think that's always a something for anybody, no matter who you are. Is if there's a guy that always just seems to be on a winning team, you know, I think there's positives to that in anybody when you're evaluating players. So.
When you have a bunch of injuries in one position, you lost Travis Long, Najee, Kendricks, you lost Jake Knopf from the practice squad. D'Amico's banged up. Acho, he lost for a few snaps. How much of a challenge is it when you just have to keep trying to cobble together in one spot like that?
Well, I think some of those – Travis, we moved in there just because we wanted to see what he could do. You know, really the ones guys that lost, you lost Najee. You know, and he's the one that's out for an extended period of time. Then obviously he's on IR, not coming back. So, but that's what this league's all about. I think there's not anybody in the league that isn't facing an injury bug somewhere in terms of what their positions is. And that's just what you have to do. You got to make sure you hope you have enough depth and you try to teach your guys that aren't starters that they have to prepare like they're the starters because they're literally a play away. That's not a cliche, but they literally are a play away from having to go in and play an extended amount of time, and you hope they prepared. I think Casey and Acho have done a really good job and when they've been thrown into it, you know, obviously with Michael going down. So you just got to – you're limited in terms of the size of your roster. You know, you're not going to carry 12 inside linebackers because you're worried about injuries there because you may get shortchanged somewhere else. But, you know, that's kind of the nature of the beast in this league is that your backups better prepare like the starters, and you hope that they did so that when they get their opportunity to go into play that you still have a chance to be successful.
How would you assess Jordan Matthews, you know, 5 games into his career?
I think Jordan's doing a real good job. You know, being a rookie coming into the league, it's obviously a lot different. I think it's a one position, I think, being a receiver is a lot different than it is in college, but just because of the coverages that you face. I don't think you see the coverages in college that you face in the National Football League. And I think his adjustment, you know, he's a real sharp kid. I mean, I think he's picked things up from a mental standpoint. There hasn't been any time where you've been like, you know, what's he doing here? You know, where it doesn't make very many mental busts. You know, I think you can see the game kind of slowing down for him as we've progressed here from the opening game in Jacksonville. Then all of a sudden, I thought he played real well in our second game, and he's starting to move into it, getting a little bit better feel, a little bit better rhythm, like just as he gains experience playing. So,
your packages for Earl Wolfe, where you would rotate him in, he played a lot more than it is now. Why is the case? Federal doesn't see as much time.
I don't know. We didn't have any packages. I just think at that time, I think we were unstable at the safety position. You know, I think a lot of it, Pat got hurt early. You know, so, you know, we had to try to figure out who our next safety in the game was at that point in time. So I think a lot more had to do with the injuries at that position than anything else.
In roster building, have you found the veterans and more experienced players to be more helpful on special teams?
No, because you could argue it both ways. I think Trey Burton's been a huge plus for us on special teams, but I also think when you have guys that have experience, I think it's more of the type of mentality that they all have. And I think the Chris Maragos and Malcolm Jenkins, guys that have played a lot of teams, have done a great job of helping Trey. James Casey has done a great job of helping Trey, but I wouldn't discount what he's done as a rookie. I wouldn't discount what Cody Parkey's done as a rookie. You know, and then you got a wily veteran like Donnie Jones and John Dornbos that are with Cody every day, kind of explaining how we want to get things done. So I think obviously anybody that has more experience is going to be a better player, but it doesn't mean if you are a rookie that you can't contribute. I think it's more about your mindset about being a contributor on special teams.
But some roster spots that on some other teams are for developmental players sometimes. These are core special teams guys like Maricles, Brandon, James Casey. Was that intentional?
No, I think we're building our team, you know, and I said it yesterday, to try to win right now. So that's what this deal's all about.
What has Todd Harriman shown you since you got here as far as consistency and just being solid?
You know, again, you go back to the experience factor and just a guy that is a true professional and understands exactly what to do. I think he may tell you too, he had his best off season this year just in his approach. I think he knows he's getting a little bit older in age and has to really, you know, attack it in the off season, and he really did. And I think it showed so far. He's been a real kind of mainstay for us on the right side, had a bump out and play tackle, in the San Francisco game. I think just his approach and how he's here, he's a guy that was here every day in the offseason, starting probably a week or two after the season ended. You know, you'd see him in this building every single day working at it. But I think it's just kind of his approach and that mindset that, you know, I wanted here when I got here, and we had a lot of core veteran guys that had that same belief when I got here, and it made the transition very easy for us, to be honest with you. I think he's playing well right now.
From a coaching standpoint, it's harder to hide deficiencies on the line of scrimmage than it is elsewhere on the field.
No, I mean, in this league, if you're deficient, you're going to get exploited by anybody. I don't think there's one that's easier to hide than the other, to be honest with you. You know, if you're deficient at the corner spot, people are going to find that out and go find those guys. I think if you're deficient at any spot, no matter where it is, I think the coaching at this level is so good that they'll find out where the weak links are and try to exploit it.
Just when you're down a couple linemen, I know you've said before you're feeling on big people and everything else, winning ball games in the NFL. What kind of problem can that cause for you across the board if you're down a couple of those guys?
I think, I'll go back to, it doesn't matter what position you are if you're down a couple guys. You know, if you're deficient at a couple guys at inside linebacker, you're going to get exploited. If you're deficient in the secondary, you're going to get exploited. I think it's just a matter of, but everybody has it. I think it's one of the things that everybody in this league, and people don't really talk about it, and you shouldn't talk about it because everybody's banged up. There's not one team we've played where it's been like, hey, they're 100% healthy and we're not 100% healthy. This is a disadvantage. It's kind of what goes on around the league, and you just got to be able to weather that storm.
You admitted that he had a really tough transition coming from college to the league. I didn't work there for that point, but just his growth in the last year that you've seen, especially from a mental standpoint.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brandon, his second year in the system, a lot more experience. His ability to play both positions, he can play, you know, on where Trent is. He can also play where Connor is. I think that's really helped him. And then, as I said it the other day, and I'll say it again, is his play on special teams has really elevated. He's been a real force for us on kickoff cover, and I think a lot of times demanding double teams just because of his ability to get down the field. And then if you're going to put one guy on him, he's such a physical, explosive guy. A lot of times he's just blown that guy up. You know, so he's starting to get a little bit more double teams, free some guys up in that situation. So I've just seen his overall game, whether it's just been on defense or special teams, really kind of take a big jump this year. And I'm excited for him. I think as we continue to grow, we'll continue to find different ways to use Brandon.
How about mentally?
I think he's always been there mentally. I just think that had to go to a new system, you know, and I think that was he was probably in the same boat with a lot of guys last year in terms of learning a whole new system. And I think he did everything he could last year, and I think now it's just his second year into it. It's a lot more comfortable in terms of what we're doing. So
last year, the Giants in that first game,
they had the nose run like a little, I guess they're calling it a nut stunt. Did you see it? Have you seen teams do that?
Yeah, I think everybody in the league runs it, moves their nose guard around. That's not a specific thing to the Giants. That, I mean, we do it. Everybody does it. You know, you start the nose on one side and then loop them over to the other side. They didn't do it every play. They just did it once or twice. And so.
You guys adapt to it in that second game when you.
No, they did it in the second game and had some success doing it too. I mean, sometimes we were successful, sometimes they were successful, but I think that's not an uncommon thing. There's a lot of teams that move their D line, you know, run defensive line stunts and run game stunts on, you know, in terms of trying to shut your run down. And you know, I think we get it every week. I know, I mean, we saw it in the first game against Jacksonville. Did a lot of movement of the defensive line. Same thing.
When the running backs,
three more questions, guys.
When the running backs jump in place, bounce up and down before the snap, what does that accomplish? What's the purpose of that?
When they do what?
They bounce up and down. Kind
they're
of.
Just going in motion. They can't stop because if they stop, we have to hold the play for a second. They're just going in motion. They're not. That's why I was confused. We're not jumping
like
in place.
Lined up next to the quarterback, not even in motion, just standing there.
Yeah, but if you watched them before the play, they were somewhere else, so they moved over there. And if they stop, then you have to hold the play for a count because it's a shift. So whenever they're moving, they need to stay in motion, or if not, we have to hold the ball before we can snap the ball. So it's no different than a receiver that comes down to the end on the wing and then kind of chops his feet. That's just the rules of the league. You can't do anything from that standpoint. So
Boy was doing that.
In training sessions, what specifically do you look for from on a day-to-day basis?
Consistency, you know, and then really just charting what we do from what plays we need, you know, were we successful with this, where we weren't successful with that. Let's get in a meeting room, find out what the, you know, what his thought process was when we ran this play versus this coverage and he made this decision. What did he see? You know, did he see it the way we're seeing it? Are we on the same page? You know, so, I mean, it's overall, it's no different than any other position. You're analyzing everybody that way. It could be, you know, an offensive guard that fan blocks when, you know, why are you fan blocking versus this look? Because, you know, there's not a guy outside the defensive end. We've got to keep it in the box, make a box call. So same things we analyze with every position. So, okay. Thanks, guys.